From the truckload quoting page within TyTMS, you can create a new shipment to instantly display your historical lane average alongside all of the market-leading rating intelligence tools. In just a few clicks, you can adjust the quote, add your margin, select your quote response template, and email an official quote right off to the customer from the same page. Request a demo today at ty-software.com to find out how TyTMS can optimize your quoting process.
Welcome back to another edition of Check Call. Today we are covering our March market update. Don't forget to subscribe to Check Call, the newsletter on freightwaves.com if you haven't already. Before we dive into our guest interview, there is some news in the world that you should check out. Truck parking is a problem that has been plaguing the country for ages. Some companies have popped up to try and remedy the situation. And a survey conducted by Cloud Trucks, a trucking management company, they tried to bring some light to this parking issue. Those in supply chain are all too familiar with. About 56% of the 1,000 American adults surveyed were unfamiliar with this issue. 21% didn't realize that many drivers end up sleeping in their vehicles, and that kind of reflects a lack of knowledge on the inconvenience and safety risks they encounter on a daily basis without sufficient dedicated parking capacity. Once these aspects were explained to them, 86% recognized truck parking as an important issue, and 95% supported the building of overnight parking facilities, which is great. However, 80% said they would only support the construction of facilities if they were at least 3 miles further from their home. Not sure why it has to be 3 miles, but hey, it is what it is. The survey indicated that Americans understand the difficulty of drivers' jobs and the value they deliver. The vast majority of respondents thought drivers were overworked, and about 58% said that drivers were underpaid, and about 50% said that commercial drivers are safer drivers than the public at large. While it might not be an immediate solution, it is hoped that the public are on board with helping out drivers. This week's sonar chart of the show is a map of the U.S. where the head haul index is the color of the map and the outbound tender market share is the height of each market. This is the perfect snapshot of what is happening in each market. Blue markets have a lot of outbound tender opportunities that carriers should move to. The height is how much freight that market has in relation to the others. Atlanta has the highest market share and it is blue, indicating that there are more outbound loads than inbound loads. So head on over to the Atlanta markets because they have work. Today, we are joined once again by our favorite market expert, David Spencer, the Vice President of Market Intelligence at Arrive Logistics. Welcome back, David. Are you excited to get into the March market update?
I am. Thank you, Mary, very much for having me.
I think we should just kind of dive right in. Everyone kind of gets what we're doing here now. But let's just jump right in. Since shippers are utilizing contracted carriers more and more, what is your biggest tip for a carrier that kind of wants to become a contracted carrier that right now is kind of running on that spot market?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, I think as a carrier, contract can mean many different things. And really what it comes down to is having that consistent volume. Right now at a rate where you can be profitable and cover your costs, I think as a carrier, that's what I'd be looking for. And as a carrier, maybe you're a small carrier, maybe you don't have access to some of these larger shippers that have this contract freight. It doesn't mean you can't get access to that consistent, well-paying freight. There are plenty of other options out there. Brokers like us, we're working with shippers, and we're always looking for consistent capacity. So, as a carrier, I think, if that's something that interests you, I'd recommend if you have a broker relationship, reaching out to them. If you have shipper relationships, obviously do what you can there. I know a lot of shippers right now are going out to bid and, giving carriers opportunities to submit pricing.
I kind of like that idea. The other thing that I would say is, just never be afraid to just be around, because sometimes you don't always want to be the second choice, but sometimes being that second choice or just being that person that just happens to call at the right time to be like, hey, I just want to check in, see if you had any more freight to go around. You can sometimes kind of fall into, an opportunity that you can then turn and, prove that, you do handle that lane well, and then you can maybe get some more freight on top of that. So I would say never be afraid to be the second option in this instance. So right now spot markets are you know, not really much of a secret. They're well below some of carrier operating costs. Do you think that this is going to shove more carriers out of the market or make them maybe second guess before they accept a load? Do you see them kind of maybe taking longer vacations? And then if that happens, do you think that could create more capacity constraints in the market?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of factors at play here as it relates to how, you know, current spot rates are going to affect carriers. First, I think it depends on who you are as a carrier. If you have high spot exposure, particularly if you have high costs, maybe you bought equipment during the pandemic when equipment prices were at a high, then certainly you're going to struggle with profitability. And, you know, we've seen a lot of those carriers either leave the market or those drivers look for company jobs as a secondary option to stay, you know, in the market, stay driving on the road. But, you know, look at the labor market right now. There's, you know, pretty tight labor market. So there are plenty of other options out there for drivers. And, you know, certainly I think there were some that were holding out hope that we would see a recovery for rates by now. But, you know, the longer this goes on and the longer rates continue to sort of creep down to a floor, I think the more capacity we're going to see leave the market altogether for sure.
Oh, 100%. It's just kind of a matter of how much can we balance that losing capacity to, you know, maybe hopefully increasing those spot rates to where it is reasonable for carriers to run. That being said, if we start seeing some of those capacity constraints, that's something that shippers are going to have to, you know, definitely switch gears and jump ship to. What are some of those challenges right now that you're seeing shippers have in, you know, their logistics and transportation environments?
I mean, just on your first comments there, as far as, you know, capacity leaving the market and how that would leave shippers vulnerable. I mean, really, that's not a huge concern at the moment. All the data that we're looking at points to, you know, the market being oversupplied and capacity being plenty sufficient to meet the demands, you know, of shippers. And I think, you know, demand is another one of those components to this whole thing that's still trying to find a floor itself. We continue to see downward revisions, and until that firms up, I think it's going to be difficult for capacity to leave the market fast enough to really create that vulnerability. But, you know, as we start thinking about, you know, challenges that shippers are facing today, on a tactical level, I mean, I think, you know, look at inbound California. I think that's definitely been a challenge. You know, not only are we seeing, you know, smaller produce harvests, we're seeing, you know, the challenges with the weather. You know, the atmospheric rivers pounding the state. And then on top of that, retail imports to the West Coast in particular are down significantly. So really struggling to see those outbound volumes supporting, you know, any real reason for carriers want to go out west. And as a result, inbound California has been a challenge. I think also tactically, you know, we're starting to see Mexico produce season get in gear. And as a result, we've seen northbound out of Mexico be a challenge. For shippers, you know, looking for capacity. But at a strategic level, the big challenge in the conversations we're seeing and having with shippers right now are around sort of when to call market bottom and when to lock in that, you know, contract capacity and those contract rates. Is now the time? Is it not? We're seeing a lot of shippers struggling with, you know, making that decision and then, you know, how to play the market today.
100%. I think that, first of all, I think that anyone that is not, you know, trying to find some reliable carriers northbound out of Mexico that maybe they could work into their contracted freight is just a missed opportunity, because capacity is only going to get tighter through there as more and more shippers, you know, set up a manufacturing operations, as produce gets into a full swing. I really think that, you know, trying to find some of those strong carriers in Texas and New Mexico and Arizona and even parts of Southern California. I think that that's going to almost need to be a priority at some point in time for just, you know, securing capacity well into the future as, you know, that trade with Mexico increases even more. So manufacturing sector has contracted again, and that is one of the, you know, key drivers of growth. Do you think there's any industry right now that might be making an upswing that might be bringing more volume to the market? Or do you think it's more of a everyone's still kind of crunching and, you know, not necessarily flipping the switch to needing a lot of extra demand?
Yeah, we've certainly seen pullbacks on the manufacturing side, a large contributor to volume for, you know, dry van full truckload space domestically. But one area that we're seeing really see a ramp up, you know, in activity this year is oil and gas, right? I think there was a large, you know, investment in increasing domestic oil production. And as a result, we've seen you know, truckload activity around that demand, you know, pick up. But just this week, you know, we're seeing oil prices falling pretty quickly and rapidly with the economic uncertainty. So, you know, how long that continues to last, I think, is up for some debate. These things take a little bit longer to play out. So we're not going to see an immediate shift per se, but definitely would be concerning to see a longer term, you know, serious reduction in oil prices and what that could mean for domestic oil drilling and truckload demand.
I think that to say that there's times of economic uncertainty right now might be a bit of an understatement, as everyone's just kind of like holding their breath, waiting to see what happens next. It's going to be an interesting next few months for people. So you guys have the rate prediction tool, which you released last fall, that said, you know, oh, and this month, or it kind of each month, different rate per mile breaks with fuel and contracted rate and everything like that. And you guys have been 3 for 3, crushing it, batting it out of the park. Have the predictions from 2022 compared correctly to kind of all that aspects of what we've seen so far in Q1?
Yeah, it's a good question. Always dicey to put predictions out there into the marketplace. But, you know, so far we've been pretty thrilled with, you know, the actual results we've seen in the market versus what we put out there. I think a little more volatility than we were expecting around the holidays, you know, Christmas and in early January. You know, first to say, we probably underestimated the amount of capacity that was going to take as much time off as it did and in the strain that had on the market at the time. But, you know, fast forward to where we are here in early March, and we're very much in line with our forecast that we put out in November. If you look at on the contract side, first and foremost, for spot, for van and for reefer, you know, we're within 1 cent of the forecasted rate movement for both. You know, on van, I think we're 1 cent below, and on reefer, I think we're 1 cent above in terms of forecasted rate movements versus actual. You know, and then looking at spot, we're within 2 cents for van and reefer as well. So a little bit more volatility in the past couple of months, but as we are here sitting today, you know, we're really, like I said, thrilled with the accuracy we've seen. And as a result, we've had very little adjustments to our forward-looking forecast here, you know, really just firmed up some of the confidence around the next few months.
I mean, to be within a cent or two, that's well within a margin of error. Shoot, some invoices are like, oh, as long as they're within a cent or two, you don't even really need to audit them. You can just kick them on down the road. I think you guys pretty much have it dialed in, at least for your first little set of predictions. I'm kind of excited to see what you guys come out and say will happen in Q2 and 3 and 4. I kind of secretly, well, I guess not so secretly, I hope you guys continue to do this like going forward, because it's kind of a fun tool to like go back and see like, okay, well, this is what we thought, and you know, turns out it's pretty accurate right now. What do you think we can expect to see in Q2 kind of as it relates to spot and contracted rates?
Yeah. You know, just at a high level from a spot perspective, I think we're finding a floor here. The floor is firming up. You know, any further rate movements downward, I would say are probably more seasonally related than, you know, true further deflation. And spot rates are going to kind of ebb and flow throughout the year. We would expect to see normal seasonality. The large gap that exists and persists between spot and contract rates, though, you know, I think we're going to continue to see downward movement on the contract rate side for the foreseeable future. The gap is just too large to really expect any other type of, you know, movement there as RFPs are going out here in the first quarter and being repriced. We certainly expect to see contract rates continue trending downward. You know, and on that regard, one of the biggest components of our like longer term forecast is trying to understand supply and demand. And one of the big trends we're seeing here in early Q1 in the RFP season is shippers, you know, being a little bit more conservative with their forecasts, right? We're not seeing as big of awards being dished out, you know, a lot of reductions in volume. And as a result, we're expecting to continue to see, you know, trucking employment growth, you know, maintain negative, you know, as carriers right size themselves to the awards that they're receiving. So that's one of the biggest takeaways that we've seen here in early Q1 that we're pricing into our forecast now is these revised forecasts and the impact we think it's going to have on, you know, carriers right sizing their fleets here in the next few months. So definitely expect to continue to see capacity leaving the market as we proceed forward with those rate trends.
I kind of feel like, you know, you guys have hit, like, we've kind of seen it with the drop, the trucking jobs decrease, and, you know, we've kind of seen different components of it, but kind of you guys taking everything that has popped up in news and headlines and different data points and just compiling it and saying, like, here's a good picture if you don't want to go look up 10 to 100 different articles about what's happening in the various different markets. I think that's, you know, I'm excited. It's, you're doing all of the heavy lifting for some of us that don't want to sit there and look through 100 million articles. And for that, I am very appreciative. But when it comes to that, kind of compiling all this data and everything like that, there's so much like information and data out there. Kind of, where do you, like, kind of, how do you consolidate everything, and what are the different considerations that you look at when you're compiling these different predictions and everything like that, just because there is so much data? So how do you weed through the good stuff and then the bad stuff?
It's a great question. And first off, thanks for the compliments on the report. You know, we're excited to put it out there as well, and I'm glad you get value out of it. And for anyone who gets value out of it, we appreciate that. You know, as we look to make these forecasts, we try and keep it as simple as possible. I know there's a lot of data in there, but all that data is really focused on, you know, your main objectives, and that's breaking down both, you know, supply and demand, and where we see both of those individual components going from where we are today. And I think, you know, that could look at, you know, behavior as on the side of carriers or shippers, or even your average consumer and how they're going to be spending their money. And really, it just comes down to trying to best understand those components and get a forecast of the directional trend that we expect them to go. And as a result, we should see rate movements follow the balance of those two.
So do you think that, you know, the infamous question, there's general consensus that we've found a floor for spot rate or for spot rates. Do you think we're close to a floor for contracted rate, or do you think that there's maybe like 5 to 10 more cents per mile that we could fall or more?
Well, depending on what index you're looking at, I mean, the gap right now is between, you know, mid-50s and maybe 80 cents, depending on where you're looking at your rate source between spot and contract rates. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see contract rates continue to follow a clip of, you know, a minimum of 2, but more like 3 to 5 cents per month throughout the remainder of the year into early next year. Especially as we continue to see downward revisions to our demand forecasts and not really, you know, sure where we're going to see the bottom for freight volumes, which we think are still remaining at a healthy level compared to pre-pandemic levels, but have definitely taken a step back from the last couple of years.
I like it. Just kind of, you know, more of the, unfortunately, it's more of the same. I wish we had better news, but I can't find any indication that suddenly all the entire freight market is going to turn around and rates are going to start going up. And I don't really see any indication of that. Kind of glad I'm not alone in that, but, you know, it's unfortunately more of the same. Just button up that belt, because it's going to get a little tight around here.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, these cycles, we see the market become so, you know, especially this last cycle, rates got so high, the market has gotten so significantly oversupplied. And as demand takes a step back, you know, that's why we've been seeing spot rates fall below the operational cost per mile for these publicly traded, you know, carriers for several quarters now, and not really see any kind of upward rate pressure on the spot side, because there's still a lot of competition out there in the spot market, and that's keeping rates really low.
Oh, for sure. So we are almost out of time, which means we have to ask you yet another hot topic, burning question. You've answered many of them, but this time I think we might have a really good one. If you could only eat one color of food for the rest of your life, what color would it be?
You know, these are the hardest questions you ask me every time I come out here, Mary. They really are. They stump me every time. And I know this is not like, you know, I guess like the right answer is probably green, you know, because it's healthy and all that. But I think the right answer is brown. You know, you got like chocolate and bread, and like you could definitely throw like chicken and French fries and like, you know, like all kinds of good stuff into that category too. So I'm going with brown, and all shades of brown is my final answer.
I like it. Cause that's the diversity. Cause if you pigeonhole yourself into a category like blue, then you're going to eat a lot of blueberries and a lot of blue raspberry slushies, which are ultimately the best flavor of slushy. But I'm a green girl because you can have salad, and on salad, you can put a bunch of different things, but I guess everything you would put on a salad would be green. I don't know. You might be on something with brown.
Yeah,
you might be onto something with brown because there's a lot of different shades. It's a lot of fried food, but hey, it's delicious.
Yeah, it's not the healthy option. We're going carb heavy on this one.
But it's variety heavy, so yeah, I think it's worth it. If anyone wants to question your color food choices or, pick your brain about the latest market update or, say that they somehow have all the data and they would like to share it with you, where can they find you outside the show?
I think first and foremost, arrivelogistics.com. We talked about the rate forecast in our recap. That's published on our website. So is our regular, shipper market update and our new carrier market update as well, for which features data that we think carriers care a little bit more about as well. So we're excited to get this content out, and arrivelogistics.com is going to be your source for all of it. For myself, you can find myself there as well and contact me there as well. And then also on LinkedIn, I'm active on LinkedIn, and, happy to engage with anyone who has any other opinions on what color food is best, or, if they think my rate forecast is wrong, or any of the above. So thanks, Mary.
I like it. Just to call out to the people to make sure that you stay humble. I like it. Thank you so much for being on the show, David.
Thank you, Mary.
Find Check Call the Podcast anywhere you can get your podcasts, like Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Don't forget to check out all the other amazing FreightWave podcasts, such as At Your Doorstep and The Drop Zone. Don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter on freightwaves.com/checkcall. See you on the internet.